Hey guys, and welcome to the Animal Training Academy podcast show. I'm your host, Ryan Cartledge, and I'm really excited that you have decided to take time out of your busy schedules to come and hang out today. We're really grateful for you tuning in. And if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, we really appreciate this. Thank you so much. Hopefully you have subscribed so that you never miss an episode. But if not, or if you are new to the show, get yourself over to iTunes, Stitcher, animaltrainingacademy.com, or whatever it is you're listening to this podcast on, and hit the subscribe button to make sure you don't miss a single episode. We are bringing you today's episode on behalf of the Animal Training Academy, or ATA, membership. If you like the conversations in these podcasts, then I want to invite you to continue them with like-minded people within the ATA membership area, which you can find out more about over on the ATA website. Within the membership, you can get access to twice monthly live web classes, the back catalogue of previous web classes, plus a huge library of videos and projects to problem solve different training situations. And we're a sociable bunch with an exclusive private Facebook group, forums area, and WhatsApp chat groups. It's like a Netflix social media platform for animal behaviour nerds. But we will get started on today's episode, where we will be talking to one Agnieszka Janarek, or Aggie for short. Aggie describes herself as a passionate, knowledgeable behavior nerd, advocate of choice in animal training, nose work addict, and obedience and concept training geek. She is the founder of the Polish Nose Work Association, owner of three rescued mixed breeds with whom she takes part in various canine sports, and heavy absorber of international educational opportunities, traveling to courses and seminars in the USA, UK, Netherlands, and Germany, and then bringing this all back to her community in Poland. Aggie describes her priorities as combining learning science, practice, dog handling, relationship, precision, and fun. So without further ado, it's my very great pleasure to welcome Aggie to the show today, who is patiently waiting by on the other side of the planet. Good morning to you, Aggie. How are you?
Good evening, actually. Thank you. I'm good. I'm really glad and happy that you invited me. I'm really feel honored to be in this podcast. It's my great pleasure.
It's our great pleasure as well. Everyone in my network is singing your praises, and I've been watching all of the stuff you've been doing online, and it looks very exciting. We share a lot of mutual geeky friends, and obviously you're part of Animal Training Academy and the community as well. So absolutely pumped to have you here. Thank you for making time for this.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited because I've seen most of your podcast episodes, and the guests are usually the people I'm looking up to. So it's really honoring to be here.
Awesome. Let's dive straight in today, though, and talk about your learning odyssey, Aggie. Could you please take us all back to where you first got started? Where did you learn about positive reinforcement animal training? And can you share some stories with the audience from this time?
So, like, my first experience with animal training was horse riding. And it was not maybe, it was not based in positive reinforcement, but it was my start to think about positive reinforcement. And from horses, but maybe if I go back even back further, my first ever experience was with my turtles. And it was more antecedent arrangement rather than positive reinforcement. But the first work I had to do was with my turtles when I was a kid. And then definitely horses that brought me to dog training. And when I got my second dog, I wanted to learn more because I wanted to be more thoughtful trainer, thoughtful owner at that time. I was thinking about myself as an owner of a dog when I started to get into training. And I simply went to dog classes and I started to learn more about it. And I wanted to explore the topics that we did in training classes. So it was my first contact as a dog training, in a sense of a dog training stuff, was with my second dog.
And when was this? Were you doing something else? You called yourself a dog owner. Were you working as an accountant or astronaut or something else? What were you doing at this time? Or were you just kind of getting into your professional life at that stage?
I was in high school, so in high school. So I was still a student, and I was thinking about becoming a lawyer rather than a dog trainer, an animal trainer. And my education was going more into this direction, but I still was horse riding, and animals were always present in my life. And while I was a law student, I was getting more and more involved into dog training. I started doing competition obedience. I started doing more training with my dogs at that time, because with time I got more dogs. And eventually I wanted to know more, especially with dogs that I have been having some issues. One of my dogs had issues with aggressive behaviors, and I wanted to explore why, what is happening, what should I do to make it better, because it was my first experience with aggressive dogs. And it was quite a heavy example, and I needed to know how to handle it, what to do, and I was seeking answers, actually, and getting to know better what is happening with my dog and what should I do to change her behavior, even though I wasn't thinking in changing her behavior at that time, rather than making her less aggressive.
Well, the world needs more positive reinforcement dog trainers, not lawyers. So good decision back then. But you said you started a law degree. So how far into your law degree did you get?
I got my master.
I got your master's. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got my master, but I've never ever done anything with my professional career. So even my master thesis was written about animals. Was written about animal law, and about how we should revalue how we perceive animals in a legal system.
Mm, very cool. And were you dog training while you were doing your law degree? And how did was it a tough decision to go, nah, I'm not going to do law even though I've just spent a quadzillion dollars on this and I've got this master's degree. I'm going to go down the dog route. Like, how did that play out in your mind?
When I started in Poland, universities are for free. So fortunately, that was not a big thing. If you're studying in a public school, then it's for free. And during my studies, I was getting more and more involved in dog training. And when I was in my third, because law school is 5 years in Poland, when I was in my third year, I've decided that that's not really the thing I want to do, that I want to finish the law school and graduate, but only to have a master's degree to later go and do my PhD in a topic that will be definitely more interesting for me. And that's something that I want to do. So maybe use my knowledge that I got from law school in helping, because also I was thinking about maybe doing more to help stray dogs in Poland and rescue dogs in Poland. So law degree was actually very useful in some cases. Especially when I was a foster home, when I was adopting dogs. So this was not all in vain. But at my third year in university, I decided that maybe that's not the best choice.
That's very cool that you get free education there. Mm-hmm. So you're at university, free university, getting on your way to becoming Dr. Aggie, and you were doing a lot of dog training. You said you were working with your aggressive dog, and you weren't thinking about how you could train that dog. You were thinking about how you could stop these aggressive behaviors type of thing. So because we're going to talk about ABA today, and it's one of my favorite subjects. for those of you who know me, then that will come as no surprise. So when did that switch happen? Now, and also to add on that question, sorry, I'm going to let you answer soon, I promise. to add on to that question, did you ever go down the aversive training route? Mm-hmm. Like, did you find that information, or were you one of those I'm going to say the fall into the slice of the pie that's smaller in our podcast audience that never went down that route.
So I was always considering myself because I've moved from horse riding, which is based on negative reinforcement and positive punishment. When you look at the classical, I was in dressage, so it's mostly use of negative reinforcement. And this was one of the reasons why I quit horse riding. And now I want to go back, but that's a different topic. I want to go back into a clicker training horses in some time. But at the moment when the issues happened with my dog and with the aggressive behaviors came, and for me it was something that I couldn't deal with. So I was looking for help with various specialists, and I've never really got into, you know, prong collars or using aversive per like very typical aversive tools, I would say, although I was recommended to use e-collar. But I never, for me, training was always like, I don't want to do those things. For me, prong collars were always tools that when I had no knowledge, for me, they were something outdated, something that you don't use anymore. And but I wouldn't say I was 100% positive, because I definitely used a lot of pressure. I used negative reinforcement, and maybe not by understanding what I'm doing and putting my dogs in situations she couldn't handle, she couldn't escape, or I was making her to do certain things like meeting new people, for example, even though it was not the best option for her at that moment. And so I think I was definitely going into the aversive training a little bit because I didn't really know how it all works. I didn't know the principles. I didn't know what exactly is driving her behavior. What exactly is happening? Why is she behaving like this? What's the function of the behavior? And I've got one this... The worst advice I always say, that it was my from one of the trainers I've met when I had issues with Gunya. They told me that I should focus only on her emotions and never think about with her aggressive behavior in terms of behaviors, that I should teach her how to cope with her emotions. And for me, it was a moment, like it was like 2 years when we were working, and I didn't really know what to do. I was feeling like I'm a really terrible handler because I didn't know what exactly should I do to make her feel better. And if I should not focus on her behavior, and if I shouldn't use food, because it was another advice, this is going to cover what we do with her, her real emotions, and overshadow it. I wasn't really going nowhere, and her aggressive behaviors were going into extremes. And we had many bite-like incidents with us because she bit us multiple times. And I was thinking that she's not happy because obviously she's behaving that way. So I assessed that for me, this is not happiness. And I was not happy because I was really frustrated because I didn't know what to do. And the moment, like a breakthrough moment came when I started to dig more into positive clicker training and more into ABA. When I looked at her behavior, her aggressiveness as a set of behaviors that I can really change, it completely was a amazing moment that really made it all different and helped us immensely to change her behavior.
And looking back at this time then, would you change your journey, or do you think that your journey was important for making you the trainer you are today?
I think it was. Actually, everything we do is making us what we are, like experience, but I would definitely like to, if I could, I would definitely change a few things, because maybe then her experience, especially looking at her as my daughter, I would definitely want better, faster for her than the time it took. But I think all this experience definitely made me understand things that I know now better, because I've seen, I've experienced different approaches. So maybe the approach to emotions, what I mentioned before, that and without any explanations, what's behind it, and maybe some aversives, but also it gave me the understanding that I see how it works, and that I think I found a way that I really want to follow right now. So, and I've experienced different paths in dog training, so maybe now this was actually a good journey.
Okay, and so bring us up to 2019, and share with us the journey in between you starting to research positive reinforcement, then you found applied behavior analysis, and your little geeky mind went into overdrive, and then bring us on that journey with you, bring us on that journey now, and bring us up to speed in 2019.
Okay, so it brought me my issues with aggression when I started to dig with into ABA. It brought me to going to actually do pursue the master degree in ABA at Florida Institute of Technology, which I had started over one and a half a year ago now. So I'm on my way to do it. And now I'm planning my PhD in ABA. And I want to share my ABA experience and the fact that it changed so much, so many things for me to Poland, because in Poland, it's not that well recognized around Polish trainers. And I think it can really benefit people from doing behavior stuff to sports training. And this is my goal in 2019.
Well, and you really like going down the academic route, and
yes.
And it's exciting that we have you on our positive reinforcement world changing team with getting your PhD. What kind of routes do you think you might take on that journey?
What kind of routes?
What do you think your PhD might focus on?
Okay, so my PhD, I definitely want to focus on animals, if I can, but it has to be combined with human work. So if you are doing academics ABA, it has to relate to humans. So probably I want to focus on aggressive behaviors and exploring this topic a little bit, because it's actually an important topic that will bring positive outcomes to human lives. And this is the main goal of ABA. So I think this will be an interesting thing to explore a little bit on my PhD.
Very cool. So you're, I want to say, I don't really like this word, but I'm going to use it now for lack of a better word. You're a busy person because you've just 2019 has seen some pretty big changes for you as well with regards to what you're offering others in terms of learning opportunities. Can you share a little bit about the exciting stuff that has been taking over my Facebook feed over the last week or so? And I've been liking absolutely everything, but please share it with the podcast audience.
Thank you. Yes, 2019 is finally the year that we released Stromflow, which is an online training platform that brings trainers who are focused on ABA approach to training and who share similar ethical background and similar educational background in terms of ABA, and also offering, being a huge advocate of offering animals choice in training. And we have amazing trainers there, because there are all people that I've been looking up to and really following them for a while. So I'm extremely excited to have them. It's Eva Bertelsen, Emily Jensen-Beck, Sarah Owings, John McQuiggan. So they are not only my great friends, but also now we will be working together. They will be offering amazing courses up there. I've been really, really excited about this project. It started less than a week ago right now. And also there is a podcast that we've released yesterday. The first episode with Sarah Wings has just been aired. So it's a new thing. And I hope every 2 weeks, every episode will be equally interesting for audience. And especially the one that we've done together, because I know we've recorded a while ago, but it really takes time to do the translations, to do all this stuff. I wasn't really aware of how much work it is when I started. But yes, the podcast is also translated to Polish, which was really my goal, that to bring these amazing trainers, amazing people from around the world to Polish community, and to let Polish people to get to know more about animal training world and what great trainers we have in those fields. So it's translated to Polish. There is a video with subtitles. And that's what's coming this year. yeah, that's the first one. That's there is no podcast as far as I'm know, and what I've checked, there is no other podcast no podcast at all, actually. Especially one that brings trainers from around the world and translates to Polish. So yes, and the seminars also, because I've invited a few amazing people to Poland. Susan Friedman is one of them. She's coming in June, and I really hope people will be interested in the seminar in Poland, because I think there is no better start than to listen to Susan's seminar if you wanted to get into positive animal training world.
Agree, and we're gonna talk about this a little bit more soon. I just want to unpack your website a little bit more, because I've been on it the last few days and had a look around, and even though the podcast with Sarah Owings was released yesterday from you, I've listened to half of it already. Love to absorb anything from you two wonderful people talking. As we like to say here, occasionally changing the world one podcast at a time. So it seems like you're doing that, but let's go back to your website. So we'll link to all of us in the show notes for everyone. If you want to find the podcast, you can go to your podcast app and Google, because you'll be on your podcast app. You can search Tromplo, and that's Tromplo, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. Or you can Google the Doc Real Talk, which is the name of the podcast.
Cool. And you and I have an episode on that show coming out in the future, which is exciting. So when you get to the Tromplo website, you've got Ava Bertelsen, like you said, Emily Johnson-Vea, John McQuigan, Sarah Owings, and a bunch of other amazing trainers in there. What should someone do when they get to that website? They want to learn more about...
They should definitely check the trainers we have and what they offer, because they offer amazing courses and on the topics they specialize in. If you want to learn fitness training that is based on very, for example, ABA structure of learning, you can really find amazing trainer Camille Lungen. She's also a person that I've met in conferences recently at Wolf, and she's a wonderful trainer. You can go into a courses section and see what our trainers offer. For example, Sarah Wings is digging the concept of stimulus control and impulse control, which is super interesting because she's done seminars on this, and this is something people are super curious about. So you can go and check the courses that are available every month, and they last 6 weeks, and they start every first day of the month. You can go to Doc Real Talk and see the podcast that is coming every 2 weeks. So we will have to wait 2 weeks right now for the next episode, because the last one was just released. Or you can go into our forum that has just started, and it's going to be built by the community more and more, and you can share your stories or ask questions. We will definitely get back to you. Or you can simply read the materials our trainers have to offer, because they write free materials in their profiles. You can go and see that they offer some amazing articles about the topics they are interested in. So there are a few options. We are building the community there, and I hope it will bring more people interested in our in the ABA world, training world, because this is the key that I was hoping to get trainers at Tromplo involved. I was really looking for people who show really big interest in ABA. And so all these people are really geeky about and applied behavior analysis and its application in animal training. We will have horse trainers soon. And we're hoping to get also some different species trainers too. So this is just starting now. Only dog people, not all dog people, because there are trainers who work with other animals also here, but we will have a section designed for horse people and horse trainers. So you can, if you are a horse person, you will have your section at Tromplo, and courses available for strictly horse riding, horse clicker training, and all done by positive reinforcement and ABA methods.
Sounds like my kind of learning environment, and it's already amazing. So I know how these things take time to build and add to, and I look forward to continually checking in on the website and seeing what exciting things you have coming up. So we'll link to this, like I said, in the show notes. But what's the URL? What's the website people can go? Is it trompleau.com? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's trompleau.com. And also if you write thedocrealtalk.com, it will get you to the podcast.
Awesome. So we talked about changing the world. Well, an approximation towards this anyway, Aggie.
Yes.
I'm hoping we could geek out now on this, but taking that approximation thought into mind and talking about making changes in our local community or, in your case, Poland. Countrywide change. I mean, that's a significant goal. And obviously, within that smaller approximation, so we started off with changing the world. Now we're going to change Poland. Obviously, within that approximation, there's a lot more splits that we can do as well. So can you tell everyone listening about your journey teaching positive reinforcement, specifically in Poland? How well, and you've alluded to this already, but how well is this information known in your local community there?
Okay, so how it started first, maybe in Poland, and I started mostly with building community around nose work training, actually, because I've decided a couple of years ago, it's going to be almost free, to open a nose work association in Poland, since there was no nose work in Poland, and I started to learn more about nose work, and I really get into the topic, and it was my really athletic great opportunity to bring it to Poland. So I created this Nose Work Poland Association that was the first one in Poland to train judges, trainers, and make competition and trials available for Polish people. And it started to build the community of people interested in doing positive training and nose work, and also in doing lots of seminars, lots of courses in nose work. We started to have a group of people, of trainers, who were also preparing dogs and trainers to take part in competitions. And nose work was like a breakthrough moment, because people found that, oh, you can do a sport that is actually focused on something dogs commonly we say like, and that this is a sport for practically everyone. And we had people coming with aggressive dogs, and they were really at first afraid to go outside with this dog, and now they have a community where we can help them to deal with a problem, and they can really have other people with similar issues around. So we are building this community around nose work, and it went from this to doing other seminars, introducing concept of choice, for example, animal training, so things that many trainers around the world do, but we didn't have that in Poland yet. So after nose work, I had a chance to do a few seminars about what to do, how to do a conversation, make a conversation with your animal about whether or not they like to participate in training. And it all evolved to now, where I really want to bring great trainers to Poland for seminars. And it's changing, because one of my friends, who is actually a translator of my podcast, Ewa Rumiszewicz, she's also inviting wonderful trainers right now to Poland. And I hope that together we can really introduce people into this wonderful place that ABA has created in animal training world.
So for where I'm sitting on my comfortable office chair with my lumbar back support here in New Zealand, it seems to me that you've kind of got a purpose, and I might be wrong here, so I want to ask you. And that purpose really is to change Poland and change how people treat dogs in Poland, obviously with a greater reach internationally as well, what you're doing. But am I correct? Is that something that you're trying to do? Did you start nose work classes going, this is part of my plan to take over Poland? Sorry about that. Or did it kind of just evolve as you went, and your original goal was just to do some nose work? Or was it like,
no, it was from the start to take over the Poland. No, it was from the start to build, to show people that it can be done differently, and today today I got a message. No, yes, sorry. Yesterday I got a message from one of my students, one of the participants of one of my seminars, who said that she's really grateful. It was wonderful that she took time to write it, that she's really grateful for this podcast and the things that I do, because this is finally the direction that she was looking for in dog training. And she finally found it. And she was looking for people who offer choice to animals, respect the animals, and who use scientific methods. And then after listening to Sarah Owing, she said that her eyes are open to a new world of those trainers around the world. So this is like the best feedback I could ever gotten about what I do and why I do it.
Cool. So you started. I'm wanting us to think how this relates to the listeners of this podcast, and there's not many people, I think, in your position who have countrywide domination. Sorry, I'm using terrible language. It's kind of funny though. In mind, but however, they might be in a city or a village or whatever word you want to place on your area of residence, not surrounded by positive trainers. And I say this because I feel like I've spoken to a lot of people that are in this position, and they want to do what you're doing, but maybe on a more micro level. Mm-hmm. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward in this conversation. You started with nose work, and you started to build this community, and then your next step was doing seminars yourself. I guess the people come into those seminars were from the nose work community. How were you building your community at this stage?
So by nose work, because I became more and more recognizable by nose work, because I was the founder of the association, and people were interested in what we were offering. They didn't know nothing about nose work, so it was a completely new thing. And I think this opened many doors for me in terms of like, oh, do you want to come for a seminar in our city, for example? Someone wrote to me, and then we did a nose work seminar, and I asked, oh, maybe do you want to do something, some other seminar? And then I really wanted to do a seminar about choice and training, and this was like my second thing that I was doing at the time. And many people were from nose work seminars that were attending the first seminars that I was doing, and then also some people who didn't really think about any, because in Poland we have, until now, it's changing right now, but we had people, either you were a sport person, so we were doing some canine sports, or you were doing just behavior issue stuff. So your dog is aggressive, and someone has an aggressive dog, and he comes to you, and you help him to resolve the issue. And there was nothing in between, nothing. No science of training. And I think people were actually missing it, and they were really happy it's coming to Poland. So at my seminars, at first, even at nose work, I had people from obedience. I had people who were interested, who were doing IPO and came to nose work training because they said that this is something new. And then I've got a person from IPO who came for a choice seminar. And she said that she doesn't want to use aversive and that she's interested in a different approach because she believes it's possible. She just needs more resources. And people are super open to new. They really wanted to have access to literature to share with them. If you can, I would recommend to share your resources in terms of books or trainers you are following, because people don't really know it if they don't read the topic, and sometimes it's hard to start, I think. So for me, it was very important to build community also on Facebook, I think, and sure, I built a group of my students, of my online work students later, because seminars and nose work courses turn into online work. And I built a community where people were actually sharing resources, were sharing multiple trainers they're following, and started to build and build. And now it's growing bigger, and I hope it's just the beginning now of something, a new level.
All right. So do you think that some advice to take away from your story might be just to choose something to niche down on to teach in your local area and just start to generate some interest around that? Was that a strategic thing you did, or was it just like, I know I want to take over Poland, I'm interested in nose work, let's do some nose work classes, and it kind of just fell together? Or were you like, no, this nose work class is going to help start that community?
It was more like this. I wanted to start a community, so nose work was part of the big plan. And I knew that with nose work, I'm able to have people of similar interests around me. And even if they come from different backgrounds, we can find a common language, and we can actually have thoughtful discussions that will lead to creating more people involved in nose work and in training. And even if it doesn't, if it's not going to change someone else's mind about training, and then still it's good for me to have community of people I can have a discussion with, even if it's not about just, you know, my way is right way, because it's not. It's just about sometimes having nice discussions and seeing different points of view, so you can actually adjust what you offer. And if you want to get into those people who maybe are not yet convinced that positive reinforcement is a good choice, it's good to just start a discussion sometimes and listen to the other side having something to say.
Well, I'm huge on community with Animal Training Academy, so I'm loving this. And I didn't necessarily realize the conversation would go this way, but I'm glad that it has. You alluded to a couple of things there that you thought were important with regards to what a community offers people. And they were things like discussion, sharing resources, getting started, seeing different points of view. Once again, was creating these elements in the community strategic as well? Or were you seeing a need for offering people discussions, resources, different points of view? Is that what you saw the community doing?
Yes. Because a few years ago, I started a training course that I have not yet finished with Kay Lawrence. And a big part of the training course was discussion forum. And I think for me, it was very a thoughtful thing, like a moment, the place where I could actually say things that I wasn't really sure of, and someone else could guide me and direct me, maybe not give me a super clear and easy answer, but maybe direct me into a way where I can find more resources on that. And this was what I wanted to do. And people were asking when I started, because I started to do also Facebook Lives about various topics, and about, you know, people could ask questions, and they asked me multiple times about what books I have read, what resources, what trainers I've been studying with. And I decided that this is a good way to start discussion and make people more engaged. And also they were asking for, like, it's a fresh group, actually. This one is called Promflow Geeks, and it was on demand group, because people asked if we could have a group like this.
That's the best way to create a group. What is?
Yeah.
We haven't actually talked about this. What does Tromplow mean? Is that a Polish word?
No, it doesn't mean anything. It's the idea was it's gonna mean what Tromplow is at some time. So Tromplow is gonna acquire its own meaning with time. So it doesn't have a meaning yet.
Is that strategic? Were you?
It was strategic. Yes.
So you actually wanted to create a new thing, a new word, a new definition, a new idea.
Yeah, that was strategic, like completely strategic, to create to have a word that doesn't mean anything, because it just completely doesn't mean anything. We checked for so many words when choosing the name, and this one doesn't have any meaning. And yeah, it was the idea that it was sometimes going to mean, like, Tromplow means Tromplow, and it has a meaning of its own.
I don't know if that answered my question. Tromplow means Tromplow. what do you want it to mean? Is that something we can ask, or is that not something that you've thought about? Are you wanting it to come from the community?
We will see. I hope that it's going to mean definitely a community of trainers devoted to ABA and scientific approach to animal training with and creating better trainers, because, like, for me, the courses that are there and trainers that teach, I will focus not on just, you know, teaching your dog to sit, but become making you a bit, not making, but teaching you how to become a better trainer for your dog and the best trainer you can actually be, the version of yourself as a trainer. So I wanted to mean a thoughtful, scientific approach to training, actually, and community of people devoted to this. But we will see. Maybe it will change with time as the community takes over and creates the meaning of Trumplo.
Animal Training Academy means Animal Training Academy.
Okay. But that, yeah.
I love it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to have a conditioned emotional response for people. Is that kind of an aspect of it?
Yes, I hope so.
All right. So you're in your local rural town in the US somewhere, and the next positive reinforcement trainer is not for 100 kilometers or miles because you're in the US, north or whatever. And you want to start to put a plan in place to create Trumplo in your local region. So you're going to, if you learn something from this podcast, one potential thing you might think about doing is creating a class, a specific class with the intent to build community. And then you can take that online. You can see where that leads to with regards to doing other seminars, hopefully create discussions, share resources, give new insights of viewing things. And then another thing, we talked about Trumplo there. So one thing you told me when we caught up before this podcast that you wanted to talk about on this topic was changing language in that local community. So how, and I'm getting the feeling that this is very strategic for you. what do you mean when you say changing language, and where does that come into your plan?
Yeah, so I will start with one thing I did. I did a poll on Facebook and asked people if they use Q or command. And all people from abroad said Q. And the people that I got answers from who said command were Polish people. And I think it really matters how we talk about things. And I covered this topic in my master thesis. It was more about the treatment of animals within a legal system. But it was very reliable to actually training, because the way we call things, it actually makes a turn on how we apply them and how we treat those things. So if you say command, it comes like many people have spoken about this. But when you say command, it's definitely something that should be obeyed. It comes from military world, and it makes a different approach. And when you say cue or when you use reinforcement, it really makes you think. This is something, like with reinforcement, credits goes to Kay Lawrence, who said that if we start to use reinforcement and you think about marker cues and all the science behind training, you start to really analyze it. Because when you start to use that word that they have a meaning, you start to understand what's the process behind it. And I think that's very important, because when I say you have to command your dog to do something, it means like your dog, if he doesn't obey, he's not an obedient dog. There is maybe some sort of dominance. So we are going into those labels, and we're going into the things that can go wrong and can really change the attitude that people have to training. So I think it's very important that if we talk about training, if we talk about language, if we talk about how we work with animals, we are very careful about words we use. And with my students right now, I pay a lot of attention to, because still some of my Polish students have this tendency to say command. And after we've done some courses, I've seen they use in discussions, even with different people, they use the word cue, which makes me very happy, actually, because it changes how you perceive training, I think.
So immediately after this podcast is finished, I'm going to do a poll in the Animal Training Academy community about words. So when you're listening to this podcast later, Animal Training Academy premium members, then you'll know why I did that poll. that's cool. So you want to – and so what is the effect of this 10 years from now? Putting all of this effort into creating this language, what – and knowing how strategic you are, I know that you've thought through this in great detail, so I'm looking forward to your answer. What happens in 10 years?
Do you want to plan month by month or a weekly plan?
No, we'll split it up. So hour by hour, please. No, just jokes.
In 10 years, I think people will be more aware of why what they do works or why it doesn't work. And they will know that there is science behind it. And they will know that there are professionals with knowledge that they can turn into, and they use ethical methods. And they are from a big community of people around the world who actually focus on applied behavior. And maybe it's, yeah, my goal is applied behavior analysis in Poland, but it's not the only lens, right, we can use. But so I would say just a scientific approach with various different lenses, but people of same ethical background who can work as a community and help each other rather than compete and be friends more than competition on the big world of animal training.
I love it. And there you have your definition of trompe-l'oeil. Just joking. So your scene has happened now. You're seeing your students start to use the different language, which comes with a different, I'm going to say, level of responsibility. Is that
okay?
Is that a, well, I'm just thinking as on the spot here, you know.
It's a good word.
Sorry, you go on.
Yeah, I think it's level of responsibility, like perfectly summarizes what I wanted to say.
Well, I say that because, and I want to hear this in your words, I say that because if we're using labels, and if we're using the word reward or treat or command, and for me, what labels can often do is remove our responsibility and saying the behavior is inside your animal's head. It's not because I haven't set the environment up well and I haven't broken down my training plan to find enough splits and all of these stuff that we can take from ABA. I mean, that's a minute little snippet there. And so by owning words like reinforcement, understanding what they mean, and by owning the labels that we use and the necessity to operationalize them, we take more responsibility back to ourselves. I want to hear this in your words. I've just added meaning to what your story, and I didn't mean to do that. Is this kind of how you see it, or have you seen it differently, or is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like this, one of the episodes I did was with Dr. Susan Friedman, and she actually said the same thing you said right now, and I think it's
funny that.
And I think yes, it's making you responsible for your learner, and it's making it's taking off excuses of blaming. I often had people coming and saying, oh, but this dog, he's not motivated. Like one of my dogs was called fragile and not motivated. And the advice I've got from one person was, oh, you should get yourself a border collie instead if you want a really sports dog. And I have a sports dog right now, and it's the same dog with just a different behavior. And if you see him right now, I recently got a comment under some video I posted that, oh, he's so motivated, he is so energetic. And it's just the same dog that I got a comment on about being, you know, no motivation at all, not a sports dog. So I think if people understand that behind labels, it's also the attitude and approach to what we do. So it's sometimes dangerous to use labels because it can change the way you work with an animal or with another human. It's sometimes better to operationalize it because you can actually have a real influence. So you have power, you have tools, you have skills to actually change the behavior, to change the this animal in front of you, and to make him from being non-motivated dog into super highly motivated in terms of labels. And I think taking off the labels and leaving them and changing the language into really more thoughtful language, I would say. So language that really, if you say something, you know what it means. You're just not saying one word that's being repeated and repeated overly in the community. It's really make things, I think, easier for both a trainer and an animal.
People have kept telling me how awesome you are, and now I know why. So we're going to move on to your last little step there, because I know there's something else that you really wanted to use this opportunity to just talk with the podcast audience about. So we're going to do that. But just your last thing there is all of this greatness you shared with changing the community there in Poland. The last thing is you're bringing international speakers over. So you've created the community now. now you can bring international speakers into this community. And you're bringing Ava and Emily over, Ava Bertelsen, Emily Johnson-Vay. You're also bringing Susan Friedman over to Poland. How has the community responded to these opportunities?
We've announced the first seminar with Susan right now. There are no registration for the rest of them. They will start very, very soon. So we've announced the seminar with Susan, and unfortunately, the response is not the one I would like to see yet. So there are people registering for the seminar, but many people are from abroad, so they're not from Poland. And I actually wish that more people from Poland would come to this seminar, because, I mean, there is no better person to introduce you to ABA than Dr. Friedman. And I would love people to sign, especially Polish people, to learn, especially that the seminar is translated. It will be a simultaneous translation. Everyone, if they don't speak Polish, can be really secure about the fact that it's going to be translated and they're going to understand everything. And on the other hand, people who are coming from abroad can be okay, because it's going to be simultaneous translation. So if you speak English, you just don't put your headphones. And we will have Eva is coming alone to do a workshop in Poland. We will have like hands on dogs and work on seamless session and building your perfect training session and how to make it really work in practice. Because Eva and Emily were in Poland, which I'm very happy already. They were brought to Warsaw and they did a seminar, lectures on start buttons and seamless session, I think, and flowcharts. And I had such a great feedback about the seminar. Many of my students went to it, and they said that those ladies are amazing, and that how is it possible that they haven't heard about them before? So people are super interested in Poland in this, I think. They just didn't have access to it yet, and it's changing.
So if you know Polish people, let's get this word out and put bums in those seats, and obviously welcome with big wide open arms the international contingency, but additionally build that local contingency there as well. Let's push on, because that was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. I love that. I'm inspired, I'm motivated, and I just learned a ton. We did want to share, like I said, with the podcast audience, one thing that you were super excited to talk to them about, and this is talking nerdy about the dog sports world and bringing ABA, applied behavior analysis, into this space. And you talked about four important ideas that you would like to share with the dog sports world. Can you tell the listeners of this show what these are?
So the four ideas that I would love to share. The first one is there is an alternative to fixing behaviors. So we don't fix behaviors. We teach behaviors. And this is something I've learned from Kay Lawrence again. And I think that this is a change of mindset for many people, because we focus in traditional training into punishing behaviors, extinguishing behaviors, and fixing behaviors, especially in sport training, that if your dog is forging in heel position, you have to correct this heel position. And so the dog is in the correct position. And you think about fixing the forging behavior. And in fact, is you should actually teach a behavior of correct position if we talk about sport training. But this has many applications in regular training also. And the other one is understanding principles of behavior and learning. So this point is, for me, it's like the most important, the foundation of Trumplow, actually. So if you understand why you're doing what you're doing, it can just make your training better and make your training more effective, more fluent, more, even it can really change if you think about competing. It can change how you score in competition, because you will know what's happening. So learning about all those ABCs and MOs is actually a very good thing to start when you want to do some more dog training. The other one is the importance of choice, because this is where, after nose work more, my professional journey shifted. So I believe with what so many trainers already do in giving dog the behavior health and ability to have an outcomes on the environment. So using the behavior to control the environment and to have a say in what we do. So if your dog learns to interact with you based on his choice, the effect of training are going to be absolutely different than if you have to work really hard to get your dog to work with you, and you really just limiting his options instead of offering more and just teaching him he has a choice. And the last one is going to be focus on yourself first, because I think, and this is also goes back to Trump Law, because we focus on teaching trainers to become better trainers. And I think many misunderstanding and training come from this, that we don't have good skills as trainers, and we are in a role of a learner and a teacher in the same moment, which is a very difficult role. So often people start teaching dogs complicated things, they start to compete when they are in the position of learning new things themselves. So I consider my training as a handler without a dog even at first a very important and crucial part of any trainer's journey in animal world, in animal training.
So each of these four ideas are in and of themselves an entire podcast episode. So thank you for running through them quickly. We had, there is an alternative to fixing behaviors, so a bit of a change of mindset there in the dog sports world and beyond. Understanding principles of learning is number two. Understanding doing what you are doing is, I think, what you said there with regards to that. And number three, the importance of choice. And number four, the last one is to focus on yourself. And maybe that, I was just thinking as you were saying that, maybe that conversation we had earlier about taking responsibility fits in there as well, or is that separate?
Yeah, absolutely, because we often require much more from our dogs or learners than we do from ourselves. It's like, even if you look at the statistics, usually we work much more on animal skills than we work on our skills as trainers. Like,
so we'll have to create some more content, four more pieces of content in the works, everyone. Sadly, because we had such an amazing conversation about changing culture, building community, we've pretty much run out of time for this episode. I apologize for that, Aggie, but that's a good thing. It leaves room for further conversations. For this last bit, though, could you please take everyone into the future? Because we started back with your turtles at the start of the episode, but I'd like you to, and we've already talked about this to some degree, thinking forward into the future with language change, but can you take everyone listening on a bit of a broader trip into the future now and share with the audience what you would like to see happen over the next 5 to 10 years in the animal training world?
Okay, so I would love to people to get rid a little bit of common knowledge in this field and focus on looking through different lenses of different sciences, but base their work on science, not on common knowledge, and really focus. Like, for me, the biggest goal is the thing that I would love to see is definitely coming to a mutual ethical background in training around the world. So being more focused on becoming better caregivers to our animals than we see right now. And I think it's the community is growing, and the community is going in the right direction, but it just needs time. So I think it's going to be a nice organic process, actually, with all the great people that are around us.
Yeah, we definitely have a growing international community doing these amazing things, and I get so excited every time I log on to Facebook, and my Facebook feed is just overflowing with the great work that people around the world are doing, including you as the listener of this show, and including you, Aggie, especially over the last week and over the last 12 months, as we've all been excitingly watching this new word get added to our vocabulary, Trump Law.
I just want to say that the work that you are doing is pretty, it's just, for me, it was like finding ADA was really a great moment, because I saw that communities are really a really effective way of bringing people of the same mindset together and about being more successful in terms of becoming a better trainer for all these people. And I think it's like the work you do in ATA is it's all around the world, and people, like the whole tribe of people who are so cool and friendly and always like, it's so great to see them at conferences and to be a part of this. So thank you for that.
You are very welcome, and you are an integral part of that, and being a contributor to content, because that's what we build our community around, and that's what the trainers use to help them with their own training goals and projects, and eventually help the ultimate end user, which is our four-legged friends, two-legged bird friends, or what else has two legs? I don't know, kangaroos. Thank you for those really kind words, and thank you for being part of it, and let's build this international community more. Let's also continue this conversation about the splits and the approximations that we can take with what we're doing day to day as well. Hey, that was so much fun, Angie. Thank you so much for sharing. Just one last time before we wrap up, can you tell everyone listening where they can go to find out more about you, get in touch, etc.?
Thank you so much, Ryan. So if people want to go and Google Trumplo.com, they can access everything I've been talking about. So the podcast is there, the trainers are there, the courses are there, and the community is building around Trumplo. So Trumplo.com. And also seminars are listed at Trumplo's Facebook fan page. They're going to be very soon at the Trumplo.com too. We are just working on it. So in about a week, they're going to appear also on the website. So if you want to register for a Susan seminar, you will have to now go to Facebook fan page at Trumplo. And in about a week, it's enough if you go to Trumplo.com. Thank you so much, Ryan, for this wonderful opportunity to be in this podcast. I was really surprised to ask.
You have what we all suffer from. We've all got imposter syndrome. You belong here, Aggie. And let's get bums in that Susan Friedman event. If you know anyone in Poland, or if you can share some of the work that Aggie's doing and about her events on social media, that would be fantastic. And if you want to see a website that looks like a website should look with proper design features as opposed to Animal Training Academy, then head to Trumplo.com. And we will, of course, link to all of us in the show notes as well. Once again, Aggie, from myself, on behalf of everyone listening, thank you for making time to hang out with us here at Animal Training Academy today. It's mega appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I had a great time. Thanks so much.
Everyone listening as well, we of course really appreciate you tuning in today. If you have enjoyed this episode and you were interested in carrying on the conversation about working with our animals in the most positive, funnest, choice-rich ways, then as mentioned at the start of the episode, the Animal Training Academy community is waiting for you. Head on over to www.animaltrainingacademy.com and click on the membership button in the main menu to learn more about what members are describing as the Netflix social media platform for behavior geeks. There is something there for absolutely everyone, and we're looking forward to having you join the tribe/community. That's it for this episode, though. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks again so much for listening, everyone. You'll hear from us again soon.